are you ready? Madam Clerk, are you ready? All right, very good. Good afternoon, everyone. If you didn't get enough fun and excitement this morning, we're back. This is the regularly afternoon scheduled meeting of the Portland City Council on July 12th.
Second episode.
Only have one item today. Could you please read it?
And I'll call the roll.
You know what? That's a good idea since the law requires us to do that. Could you please call the roll?
Sussman.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Fritz Fish Wheeler.
Here. First item.
Item 810, support retaining federal policies protecting net neutrality.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Last Friday, I was joined here at City Hall by U.S. Senator Ron Wyden to publicly denounce the Trump administration's intentions to overturn the Obama-era protections of a free and open internet. Today, across the country, Americans, this is an action day across the country. Americans and American companies such as Google and Facebook are participating in this day of action to save net neutrality and to stop the corporate takeover of internet content. Now, as Senator Wyden, I'm not stealing any lines here, but as Senator Wyden said at our press event last Friday that he gets a lot of good positive support for his support for net neutrality, but not a lot of people understand what it is. But they say, it sounds good, I support it. So we're going to help people to understand what net neutrality is today with a little help from HBO's John Oliver and how important it is, too. So we have a brief film clip. I think it's 3 minutes.
Yep.
This might be my favorite session ever.
Favorite session.
Our top story tonight good way to end the concerns week. The internet, a.k.a. the electronic cat database. But first, let's take just a moment together and appreciate how amazing the internet is. You can use it to file your taxes, apply for jobs. You can go online right now and buy a case of coyote urine. Do you know how difficult it used to be to obtain coyote urine? You literally had to give a coyote Gatorade and just wait. It was a mess. The system was a mess. But if you've turned on the news lately, you may have heard some worrying references to the internet changing.
The Federal Communications Commission has agreed to move forward on a proposal that could change the way we use the internet. At risk, the basic principle of net neutrality.
Net neutrality.
Net neutrality.
Yes, net neutrality. The only two words that promise more boredom in the English language are featuring Sting. And hearing people talk about it is somehow even worse.
As anticipated, the notice proposes to ground the net neutrality rules in Section 706 of the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Oh my God, that is the most boring thing I've ever seen. That is even boring by C-SPAN standards. I would rather read a book by Thomas Friedman than sit through that hearing. I would rather listen to a pair of dockers tell me about the weird dream it had. I'd rather sit down with my niece and watch Caillou, a children's show about a bald Canadian child who lives a life devoid of any incident. F*** you, Caillou! Grow some hair and leave the house! Find out what the world's about. Come on! But here's the thing. Net neutrality is actually hugely important. Essentially, it means that all data has to be treated equally, no matter who creates it. It's why the internet is a weirdly level playing field. And startups can supplant established brands. That's how Facebook supplanted MySpace, which supplanted Friendster, which supplanted actually having any friends. Do you remember physically having friends? It was awful. You couldn't tap people's faces to make them go away. The point is, the internet in its current form is not broken. And the FCC is currently taking steps to fix that.
The FCC is endorsing new rules that could clear the way for a two-tier system.
The rules would open the door for the first time for internet providers like Comcast and Verizon to charge tech companies to send content to consumers more quickly. Netflix, for example, might pay a premium to ensure that its customers can stream movies more reliably at a cost a startup competitor might not be able to afford.
No, This cannot happen.
We're going to stop there.
My thoughts exactly, yes.
Oh, please.
This cannot happen. And that's why the City Council today will hopefully pass a resolution to oppose the FCC's efforts to weaken net neutrality or eliminate net neutrality altogether. So that's what comments are due by July 17th, so our resolution is very well timed today. And to we have some invited guests here, and I wanted to start first by bringing up staff from the City Attorney's Office and the Office for Community Technology to provide an overview of the resolution in 2 or 3 minutes.
Go ahead.
Or less.
Can you be as entertaining?
No.
No, that was pretty good. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Ann Goldenberg, the manager for the Office of Community Technology. Now, we already heard a pretty good explanation of what net neutrality is, so I'm not going to go very deeply into it, but I'm going to explain a little bit about net neutrality, some of the things that we would lose if we lose net neutrality. And I also want to tell you a little bit about the unique history Portland has as a leader in this issue. And I think that is really something exciting today, being the day of action. We're here because the FCC, as we just saw, is poised to unwind the net neutrality rules that they just passed in 2015. These rules are so important to the modern internet that we're here, along with many others, to speak to it and to pass this resolution to let the FCC know that we oppose what they are doing and we support an open and non-discriminatory net neutrality. The free and unfettered exchange of information between people and organizations with no bandwidth preferences based on the nature of content, authorship, or affiliation created the internet we know today. Net neutrality, we know, fosters competition on the internet. It allows small companies to enter the market on the same footing as large companies, lets our kids do their homework online, and lets all of us have access to information even greater than what we just saw on TV. We have new industries here in Portland and around the world based on these principles of a fair playing field, an even and level playing field. Three ways that net neutrality, the elimination of net neutrality, could affect us all: blocking, throttling, and pay to play. Blocking, we all have seen when we've gone to an internet content and we see 404, content not available. Can you imagine if our kids had to go get their homework at their school and they see a 404? Not acceptable. We need access and we need it immediately. Throttling, imagine if our meeting right here. We serve many, many people in our community. The civic purpose of government access is important to create civic engagement and knowledge about our community. However, I'm sorry, you probably don't have as many viewers as, you know, Game of Thrones. If that was decided to be throttled by a company, meaning that it would not even maybe be a clear video stream, that's the same as not having access. We lose the ability to have civic engagement if we're throttled. Pay to play? Who do we want picking our content for us? An ISP or you? That's a basic issue about your right to be able to get the information you want. And it's especially important for our economic community. We need to be able to have everybody have the same access, whether you're an individual or a business. We need to be able to make sure there is no pay for play. In the music companies, in the 50s, they called it payola. No payola. None of these outcomes are good for us, for our community, for job creation, for civic engagement, for government transparency, emergency preparedness. None. Now, Portland has played a unique role, and we have a unique role today with your resolution. You might even say that net neutrality was born in Portland. This position can be traced back to 1998 in the Council's consideration of the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission's recommendation that the cable franchise from TCI to AT&T reflect a condition of non-discriminatory open access. 1998, the city voted to require this as a condition of that cable franchise. Guess what? You got sued. Yeah. But the outcome of this case was very important. The outcome decided that this classification of the FCC as a cable modem service was an information service was affirmed, and net neutrality as a concept was born. So you might say net neutrality was born here. Since then, the city has taken a bold leadership supporting net neutrality principles. It's always been a leader. In 2010 and 2011, the legislative agendas reflected that. In 2014, the mayor of Portland joined the mayors of San Francisco, New York City, to file a letter with the FCC and the legislative delegation supporting net neutrality. All of these efforts paid off in 2015 when the FCC had net neutrality as an O rule. Yay! All of it paid off. But now, there's an opportunity to have these rules rolled back. Today is the day of action. What are we going to do here in Portland? What can we do? As leadership, you can pass this resolution and let the FCC know how important it is to all of us here in Portland. Citizens have a huge and a very important role to play as well. You have a few more days to make a comment to the FCC. www.fcc.gov. The docket is 17-108, and it's called Restoring Internet Freedom, ironically. Tell the FCC, keep net neutrality now. Last time, in 2014, over 4 million people commented, "We crashed the internet." Let's do it again. So let's take this day of action. I urge you to pass this resolution. I urge all of our citizens to make a comment to the FCC, and together let's make sure we keep net neutrality. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ann. Thank you. Ben, did you want to add anything?
Yes, Ben Walters with the City Attorney's Office. I'm here for two reasons. Three. First, I want to acknowledge that Mayor Wheeler has already gotten on board with this effort in joining 49 other mayors from around the country in co-signing a letter that was has either will be or has been, I don't know the exact status of it yet, but through the U.S. Conference of Mayors and the assistance of our Government Relations Office, Mayor Wheeler joined in that letter, taking a firm position in preserving net neutrality. So thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much. Secondly, the effect of the resolution is to direct our office, the City Attorney's Office, to work with the Office for Community Technology to file comments and otherwise participate in the FCC's proceeding and to take further action as may be necessary in subsequent judicial proceedings to continue to advocate for net neutrality and the position of open access on the internet. And with that, if there's any questions, I'm here to and available to answer questions.
No question. Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And next, we want to hear from Grace Stratton, who is the field representative for U.S. Senator Wyden. And then we have one invited panel after that.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, City Commissioners. Thank you for having me today. My name is Grace Stratton, and I am here representing U.S. Senator Ron Wyden to express his support and appreciation for this resolution. I'd like to thank Commissioner Saltzman for bringing this resolution forward today. Senator Wyden has long fought to protect net neutrality because he knows the importance of equal access to information on the internet for all Americans, children researching school projects, adults seeking employment, owners of small startup businesses wanting an even playing field, and more. Today is significant for advocates. Today is the day of action to save net neutrality. Senator Wyden encourages as many Oregonians as possible to participate by going online and submitting comments to the FCC defending net neutrality. And in the words of Senator Wyden, "This is an extraordinarily consequential issue for Portland, for Oregonians, because net neutrality has sparked the flames of innovation and commerce on the internet. We shouldn't roll back that spirit of innovation and equality that would extinguish much of what the internet has come to be." So with that, I think my comments really mirror a lot of what we've heard already. I just want to end by, again, on behalf of Senator Wyden, thanking Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners here for considering this resolution, and again, for Commissioner Saltzman for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Grace. And then our one invited panel is Sue Disciple of the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, Sam Pastrick of the Oregon Citizen Utility Board, Eric Onan CTO of Cloudability, and David Olson, who is the former director of the Office for Community Technology. Yeah, well, I guess we need one more chair.
It's coming.
Yeah, there. Take away, Sue.
Well, good afternoon, Council. Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Saltzman, and Mayor Ted Wheeler, thanks for inviting me to speak to the issue of consumers as it relates to net neutrality. I have some history with the issue of net neutrality as the MHCRC representative for the City of Portland, and I had just come on to the MHCRC at the time that the open access issue came to the fore. So that was 19 years ago, as Ann Goldenberg just addressed. And we were, as she indicated, engaged in a battle with our incumbent cable provider over what was then termed open access. And at the time, the company sought to bottleneck control over consumer choice of their internet service provider. For our consumers here in the metropolitan area, that impact would have been a monopoly-like absence of choice, forcing them to use the company's proprietary platforms. In our rural parts of our state, it could have prevented small ISPs from obtaining carriage and eliminated internet access altogether for consumers and businesses in those communities. I'm proud to have been on the MHCRC and representing the City of Portland at that time, and proud that our City Council and County Commission took this fight all the way to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. In doing so, as has been mentioned by other speakers, we struck the first blow on behalf of consumers on the issue that, fast forwarding now to 2017, is the principle of net neutrality. So, as open access was right for consumers and businesses in 1998, net neutrality is right for consumers and businesses today. Telecom and cable companies with market power want to manipulate the timing of information delivery because it gives them the ability to make more money. But we all know the vital and important role of the internet to consumers and businesses. Throttling the internet for those who do not pay the premium will act as a filter on the flow and timing of information consumers and businesses and news organizations that consumers rely on and that news and business organizations use to disseminate. These limitations come purely at the expense of the consumer, as this additional profit-making gambit can be deployed without any additional investment or any additional service improvements. It is not true that under the FCC chair's proposed rules, some information will arise faster. That's a fallacy. All it does is guarantee that some information will arrive slower, essentially curating via delay the information consumers receive. And it's hard to imagine how small startup businesses will compete on an internet dominated by those who pay for expedited delivery of their messaging. So as way back in 2000, we still on the MHCRC have concerns about the rural communities here in Oregon. We haven't gotten really good analysis on this, but many of those communities still, like they did in 1998, depend on small ISPs for their internet service. It's really hard to see how the erosion of net neutrality rules and principles can be anything but an economic and cultural blow to those communities. So, members of the Portland City Council, thank you on behalf of consumers in Portland and in our state for once again stepping up and supporting consumers with your resolution on net neutrality. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Sam, next.
Good afternoon. My name is Sam Pastrick, and I'm here with Oregon Citizens Utility Board. I'm their consumer advocate and membership manager. I want to cut right to the chase. This is sort of the line that I always used. I used it last Friday. The internet is an essential utility service. That's really our stance as the residential utility advocate, residential utility customer advocate in Oregon. It's a service for the public benefit, and what that really means is that everyone is entitled to, you're going to hear this a lot, fair, unfettered, and affordable access to service. This is really the underlying principle of net neutrality. like MHCRC and the city. CUB has endorsed net neutrality for many years now, but it really wasn't until 2015 when the FCC approved the Open Internet Order that the federal government actually codified those rules based on sound legal footing. That legal footing was Title II, and I don't want to get too wonky there. And despite numerous attempts to appeal that decision from the big cable and telephone industry lobby groups, the courts have largely upheld the defense of the order, the last one being last summer. So, however, this might change because the FCC has the apparent vote count to repeal the 2015 order. But an apparent vote count does not always guarantee repeal. We're seeing this play out right now in Washington around healthcare, and I think that's a really important point to make. And this is why local efforts are so important. They send a really strong signal to that the repeal of these basic common sense protections for consumers needing access to the internet is completely unacceptable. So I want to give two examples here. Probably the more common one, or the more common anecdote in defense of net neutrality or in support of greater digital equity, is sort of the low-income student needing home internet access to complete his or her homework. This is such a good example because that student, I think we all agree, is entitled to the same speed and access to content as maybe the wealthier family across town or the corporate CEO in a downtown high-rise. But I want to offer a different example that hopefully highlights why folks nowadays, especially those who are most vulnerable, truly need fair, safe, and reliable internet access. So let's say I'm homebound for any reason, for any period of time. So in this scenario, the internet is really my connection to the outside world, I would argue. It's my vehicle to connect with friends and family. It's my entertainment outlet, probably my only entertainment outlet. It's my way to receive essential medical services, whether that's scheduling my next appointment or reviewing test results or even receiving telecare. The internet may also be my best means to order food or get extra help around the house. If I'm employed, it's probably the way that I'm going to keep that job because I can work remotely. I think we've all done a little bit of that. If I'm unemployed, though, it's really the only option that I'm going to have to search for a job or apply for a job. So the internet in this scenario is really the foundation of my health. It's the foundation of my safety, my general well-being, and ability to participate in society in really any meaningful way. So if we can all agree on this critical point that fair and affordable access to the internet can really make or break someone's livelihood, then we should also agree that reasonable protections to preserve net neutrality, those that were enshrined in the 2015 order, really must be defended. So in light of this, and on behalf of CUB, I want to encourage passage of today's resolution that would officially support the preservation of the 2015 Federal Open Internet Order. Thanks for your time. Of course, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Sam. Mr. Onan?
Hi, thanks for inviting me. My name is Eric Onan. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Cloudability. Cloudability is one of the technology startups that's been discussed today. We're based here in Portland. We are a company of 80 people, and we employ 60 people living in the greater Portland area. We're proud to be a local Portland startup. I'm here to offer today some anecdotes as to how an absence of net neutrality would negatively impact our business specifically, and then I'll speak a bit more to how it would negatively impact the software industry in general within Oregon. First and foremost, a lack of net neutrality would run a significant risk of impeding our ability to operate our business. The product that we create, the product that we engineer here in Oregon, is what's known as a SaaS product, a software as a service product. It's a hosted thing. It's not an installed piece of software on a desktop. It relies on open internet protocols for our customers to consume the service that we create. The absence of net neutrality effectively runs the risk that customers of ours who are trying to consume the product that we create would be artificially impeded in ways that would be difficult for us to diagnose and require us to spend precious revenue just to be able to offer the service that we can currently offer today. Secondly, the absence of net neutrality runs the risk of impeding the productivity of our workers here in Oregon. Namely, our knowledge workers, our software engineers who work with large binary assets, who write software for us, rely on reliable bandwidth in and out of our office space here in Portland. Our sales team heavily uses video conferencing technology, and phone technology that is all based on an open principles of open internet, of reliable bandwidth, that arbitrary restrictions absent net neutrality would be significantly negatively impacted by. As it stands today, we're already forced to work with two different internet service providers, spending significant money just to have reliable bandwidth coming into our office. The last thing that we need is upstream impediment by third parties to restrict that bandwidth so that we can do our jobs on a day-to-day basis. And then lastly, I wanted to mention that as with most software companies like ours, we are a global business. We do business everywhere in the world. We have customers in many countries. We have offices in Australia. We have employees in the UK. And our ability to operate and grow and address a global market is put at risk absent net neutrality. It's essential for us that we can communicate with our remote coworkers, that we have channels to them that are reliable, that don't come and go at awkward, strange, unfair principles. So that's effectively how the absence of net neutrality would impact our business. In working with Skip Newberry, the CEO of the Technology Association of Oregon, there's a broader impact to software as it relates to the state of Oregon in that right now, software in general within the technology sector within Oregon is one of the fastest growing sectors, contributes over $25 billion to the GDP within the state. It's one of the highest drivers for annual wages in terms of state accumulation of wealth, more than double the average across other trade sectors within the state. And I feel comfortable sitting here in front of you today telling you that all software, well, perhaps not all, but the vast majority of software engineers would have a similar sentiment to mine. Their jobs, their ability to effectively operate their business, to perform their day-to-day tasks would be significantly negatively impacted in the absence of net neutrality.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And finally, David Olson. If you can scoot a microphone over there. Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm David Olson. For nearly 30 years, I was your Director of Cable Communications and Franchise Management under five mayors. And I arrived with a stack of paper, which used to be a budget tactic for me. Mayor Katz used to be frightened to death at budget time that I would start talking, and I used to get my budget passed that way. So just telling you, I'm not going to dwell on that so much. But I know each of you very well. I have not had the pleasure of meeting Commissioner Udaly, but I had the honor of working for Dan. I saw Mayor Wheeler at the county per the cable Mountain Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, and Commissioner Udaly's executive assistant and I more or less co-inhabited an office
when he worked for Chief of Staff.
Yes.
More
or less co-inhabited an office during the open access fight under Commissioner Stan, and we know each other very well and this issue very well. So I feel very well connected here. First of all, I want to thank the council, Commissioner Saltzman, and the council for introducing this resolution. This is very, very important stuff. One other thing John Oliver said in one of his pieces on this is if you want to do nationally, if you want to do something really evil, put it inside something really boring. And in essence, that a lot of that's what's going on here. Please know that 80% of the wired internet subscriptions in this country are dominated by five companies, only five companies. 75% of U.S. citizens have one choice for high-speed data, only one. There's a reason that those companies aren't here today. There's a reason for that, and that is that these companies benefit from stealth. They benefit from people not pitching in. They benefit from there not being an ample public record on this, and that's why they're not. You're not going to see much of them at these local meetings. This passed on a 2-to-1, the magnificent margin of 2-to-1 at the FCC when the new administration came in. Only two votes. And it would essentially undo what had been done with the internet as a utility. And so this is a very, very important day of action. I want to echo and associate myself with what Sue Disciple said about rural-urban. If you ever want to work with rural Oregon, this is the issue. They're going to be hung dry if this happens. And I appreciate what you're doing. I want to conclude by giving a shout out to the nationally recognized staff of the Office for Community Technology, which continues to be nationally recognized, and the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. This is another nationally recognized asset for you, these volunteer citizens. Many people don't remember or don't recognize this issue was led from behind at the time. That is, the Portland City Council didn't reach out and grab this issue. This was brought to the council by a very dedicated group of citizens in a multi-jurisdictional commission. It took all of them. And in fact, it took Troutdale and Multnomah County working with commissioners from Portland to get this issue going. And it wasn't easy. But because of the benefits of that multi-jurisdictional partnership, this issue got to you, and it is a national issue that really started here, and because of that unique bond, multi-jurisdictional bond that you have. And in any event, carry on. Thanks again, Commissioner Saltzman. From the bottom of my heart, I thank Senator Wyden for the attention he's focused on this issue. In fact, I was with him at City Club the other week, and it was just killing me. It's against City Club rules to recognize people out in the House because they wouldn't have any program time if you did. But I want to say thank you to this council and to the County Commission and to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. Urge all of you to carry on with Senator Wyden. This issue is critically important. And I thank you again for the honor of having been able to serve you all those years. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. That completes invited testimony.
Very good. Do we have public testimony?
No one signed up.
Does anybody want to provide public testimony? We have one person, one taker in the back. Come on up. If you could state your name for the record, please, 3 minutes. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. My name is Edith Gillis, and I'm really grateful that you're addressing internet security and justice. And one of the things I didn't hear is that it's essential for democracy, and democracy and trust in it is essential for civil peace, because without it we cannot have civil justice. And that's essential for your peace of mind, your enjoyment. You feel good about why you're here, what you're accomplishing. You're trusted and respected in your community. We need to know that we can quickly and correctly get information we need to go to the aid of someone who needs it. When we have disasters, we need to know that we'll have the news, we'll have the information we need. At the Good for the Hood, because of the internet and because of the incredible work of Antifa, they had pictures of known white supremacist terrorists. I was there to pray and was in the right place at the right time to stop two known terrorists from coming in who had planned to shoot people whose pockets were bulging and had at least one weapon on the side. The cops did not stop them. The FBI and whatever sheriff deputy it was did not stop them. But because of Antifa having the open internet, I saw the pictures. I was there praying. I could act, and I could get Black Panthers and Antifa to close off areas that they were accessing. And those places were then guarded, and they never followed through with their plans that all the police would have never stopped. It was the internet. It was the access. It was courageous, caring, dedicated people who put the information we needed up there that kept our safe city safe. So I just want to commend you again, how important it is for democracy and peace of mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions?
No.
Very good. So with that, then, we'll go right to calling the roll, please.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you all for being here today, and again, thanks to Senator Wyden for his outstanding leadership on fighting on behalf of net neutrality. And it really is a very important issue, despite its boring title. And it is important to all of us to be able to have equal access to the internet. And that is, I'm very pleased that Portland has such a proud tradition, and the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, all the jurisdictions have such a proud history of involvement in this issue, maybe even initiation of the concept of net neutrality. So it makes me proud to be here today authoring this resolution to carry on this proud tradition of working to keep net neutrality. And as I said, the comments are due on the 17th, and Nils is going to take our resolution on an airplane to Washington, D.C. as soon as we pass this. Aye.
Udaly.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman and Senator Wyden and everyone that came here today. You did an excellent job explaining the importance of this issue. It does sound very boring, and I often fear that the public doesn't understand what a huge impact it could have on them. So I like to put things very simply. Your ISP could decide what you see,
how interactive it is, how quickly it reaches you, if ever, and then charge whatever it wants for that access. This issue is near and dear to the heart of my office, as was mentioned. Marshall Runkle, my chief of staff, was deeply involved in the work that led to our current policy. He also was behind our first effort to bring municipal broadband to Portland, which is a conversation we may want to return to because it's probably the strongest move we could make against the loss of net neutrality if that does happen, and it would address our ongoing issue with broadband access equity. It's also near and dear to my heart. I devoted over 20 years of my life to supporting and promoting independent media, in no small part because of the consolidation of print media, television, radio, et cetera, into a handful of multinational media conglomerates. I see this as even a bigger threat, especially considering that the internet has basically undermined all other forms of media and we're really dependent on it for access. Finally, at a time when our own president is kind of undermining the position of our press, I think it's especially vital and essential, as the raging granny mentioned, to our democracy. So it's a scary thought to think we could lose this. Thank you again, I.
Wheeler.
Well, I appreciate this, and I want to thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, and I want to thank the folks who testified. You made this highly entertaining, and any time I can come to a city council session and actually watch John Oliver, I think that's a great day. I want to give a slightly different analogy. As I think everybody here knows, I have a love-hate relationship with the internet. I do think it democratizes information. It does not democratize either facts or knowledge. You have to go the extra yard for those two things. So I've been struggling for the right analogy, and I've concluded the right analogy is actually looking at the public library system. Originally, libraries were private affairs in the United States, meaning if you had access to a library, you had access to the entire body of information. And if you didn't have the means, you did not, and you were relegated to borrowing other people's materials or finding information through other means. But if you really wanted to look at the major works of literature, the major works of art and culture and science, there were actually what I guess today we would refer to as paywalls for access to that information. We are supplanting, and I hate to say it because I love the public library system, we are supplanting the library system with these open technologies and this access to all of this information. And I am very concerned anytime somebody suggests that we should not have democratized access to the body of information that for 200 plus years in this country, we already made the decision it is in the best interest of a healthy and thriving democracy and an informed public to have access to that information. So it is appalling to me that there are private sector organizations that should know better, and that there are high-level elected leaders who should know better, who want to take us backwards in terms of access to that information. So it is very important that we support this resolution. Dan, thank you again for your passionate support of it. And I also want to thank Senator Wyden. He's truly been the national leader on this issue, and I know he's going to continue to fight hard on behalf of all of us. But it is important that this city council step up and express our strong support for his works in Washington, D.C. So I will vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you, everybody, for your great testimony and hard work. And with that, believe it or not, we are adjourned.
All right.